Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious and the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. We welcome you to the broadcast and our continued delight in studying the precious Word of God relative to the second coming of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. We often think of the words of a dear old hymn, the chorus of which declares, "Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today, even so come, Lord Jesus, taking thy bride away. Oh, how my heart is yearning, longing for thy returning, even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today." Oh, how we pray that this is the heart prayer of every child of God, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us continue our meditation upon the second coming of our beloved and blessed Lord, as we have begun it in the preceding messages in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We read particularly for our lesson verses 16, 17, and 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort or encourage one another with these words." May God bless the reading and the hearing of these precious words relative to the personal return of the Lord Jesus for his own. Shall we continue the thought that we are spending some time on, the rapture of the saints, that blessed occasion when the Lord Jesus will come for his saints. And may I repeat, with no apology for the repetition, how greatly it is often needed that we are distinguishing the coming of the Lord for his saints and the coming of the Lord with his saints. And we have noted that distinction is presented to us in the Word of God. So that we consider, first of all, the coming of the Lord for his saints. In our scripture of 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17, we have the description of that coming event. Now this description is set forth before us with three distinct actions. We have already noted the first one in verse 16. There will be an action of descent when our beloved and blessed Lord himself shall descend from heaven with an assembling shout, accompanied with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. That will be the first distinct action in the wonderful rapture of the saints. We now would consider the second direct action. Practically, we could say synonymous with the first, as we look at the end of verse 16. It is a motion, it is a movement of resurrection. For we read, "The dead in Christ shall rise first." Oh, may I repeat it? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Let us recall the context of this scripture. The preceding section reminding us the Thessalonian believers, as some of their loved ones in Christ go to be with the Lord, they had buried them in the grave, yet they were wondering, if the Lord was coming, how would they ever meet him when they would be in the grave? And the apostle, by the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, thus records the manner in which they would meet the Lord and would be raised from their grave at the coming of the Lord for his own. But please note our words, the second action of resurrection, the dead in Christ. Please note carefully, it does not state that all the dead, but a special portion of the dead, the dead in Christ. Then may I also point out to you, It does not say some of the dead in Christ. There's no qualification such as that. 'Tis not merely the dead whose testimony may have stood out in power and great faithfulness. 'Tis not only the Elijahs of history. No qualification is signified. There is no signification of what some believe, and that is a partial resurrection from among the dead. But there is but a sweeping statement, brief but broad in its truth. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, beloved, when you think of this great event, and you think of the simultaneous movement of our Lord descending from heaven, and then the resurrection of the dead, surely we may recognize this second action is the most necessary one. First, before the living are effected. For I'm sure that we all know from sensible reasons, and we can logically know, that those that are dead in Christ, they are usually buried, they are in the ground, they are below the earth, at least for the majority, so that they must indeed be raised from their sleeping graves, however deep they may be buried in the earth. But may I go even further? Wherever the dead have been buried, wherever the dead have been placed, unquestionably we know from facts there are many of them that have been buried at sea, which was completely necessary when their death took place on such occasions. But nevertheless, may I say, this is the great doctrine of the resurrection, when the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and what joy to realize they will not miss. As the beloved apostle wrote previously, they will not miss the coming of the Lord. As Paul said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. My beloved, let me speak faithfully, as well as experimentally, to know the joy, the dearly beloved that we may have placed in the graves, and said farewell to them from this earthly scene, yet with a hope that we know when Jesus comes, we shall see them again. What a blessed privilege to realize the Lord Jesus will bring them out of their graves, first of all, as thus he descends with the assembling shout. A day of resurrection, the dead in Christ. My beloved, it matters not where they are throughout the world. It matters not where their bodies may have been placed, but thank God, in that day of resurrection, they will appear coming out of their graves. My beloved, let me remind you of something. When the Lord Jesus was upon the earth, one of the greatest miracles which he performed was the raising of Lazarus from the tomb, where he had been for 4 days within that tomb. Now, beloved Lord, you may remember the occasion as he commanded them to roll away the stone. And thus he commanded, saying with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, beloved, what joy to realize that the voice of the Son of God in his power and in his authority brought the body of Lazarus out of the tomb. But oh, when our blessed Lord Jesus Christ calls all of his own from out of the graves, my beloved, it will be a powerful voice. Let me read the words that the Lord Jesus spoke regarding that resurrection. May I speak these words from his own lips, as they are recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 5. And may I read the words where he declares, verily, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they hear that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. What the Lord refers to is without question of doubt. We who may have been spiritually dead, we hear the voice of the Son of God, we believe the message and we live and become the possessors of eternal life. But, let me read on, verse 28. Marvel not at this, said the Lord Jesus, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. My beloved, let me please state on good divine authority that the blessed Savior, the Son of God himself, has power and authority to raise the dead. And at his command, they will come forth, not just a Lazarus, not just one individual, not even two or three, but oh, let me read on, they that have done good, unquestionably referring to the redeemed, unto the resurrection of life. And then may I remind you, there will also be a resurrection of those that are lost, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Please let me point out carefully, here the Lord Jesus speaks of two distinct resurrections. One is the resurrection of the just, the other is the resurrection of the unjust. One is the resurrection unto life, and the other is the resurrection unto damnation or judgment. Ah, but when we read the words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, they are in relation to the resurrection of believers who have died in Christ. Oh, the joy of knowing it. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And now, blessed to realize, from their graves they shall appear with their resurrection bodies. Concerning the glory of that resurrection body and the occasion, we shall say for another time at the study of it from another scripture in the New Testament. But here we have the movement, the second motion, the second action in the rapture. First, the Lord Jesus descending from heaven. Simultaneously, the dead in Christ being raised. And may I repeat with emphasis, not some of the dead in Christ, not merely those who have been faithful. For may I say, there is a teaching that prevails around that unless we are faithful, we shall not be partakers of that first resurrection when the Lord comes at the rapture. My beloved, there is no such qualification expressed in the words of our Savior written by the Apostle Paul. No qualification that would signify a partial resurrection, but a sweeping statement, the dead in Christ shall rise first. My beloved radio friend, if you have a loved one in the grave, I trust that you are ready to meet them again at the rapture of the saints. Oh, blessed Father, we thank thee for that coming resurrection of thy people. May it soon take place in our Savior's name. We ask it for the blessing of all who hear the message, whether saved or unsaved. Use it by the Holy Spirit for their blessing. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.